Amen. 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 Our hearts long for him. Amen. Whether we recognize it or not, he is what we need, who we need more than anything else. Amen. 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 Won't you pray with me for a moment, please? Lord God, we thank you this afternoon as we enter into the afternoon to thank you for creating us, Lord. You didn't have to. You didn't have to make a world. You didn't have to create people. But you did, Lord. You are the self-sufficient one, and you don't need us. You don't need anything. You are the only independent being, and yet you saw fit to allow us to come into being and to enter into a relationship with you. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for helping us and allowing us and teaching us about yourself, about your love for us, and helping us to learn what it means to love you in return. We thank you for your great love, your love that indeed lifted us. We thank you that Jesus Christ, who is the greatest expression of your love, that he came to this earth to demonstrate the love of God for us by dying on a cross for our sins. And we thank you that through him we have the forgiveness of sin. And thank you that because he got up from the grave, we'll get up too. That this world is not our home, that we're pilgrims passing through. One day, the earth as we know it, life as we know it on the earth will come to an end, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you have called all of those who have loved you and trusted you and believed in Christ into that relationship and to experience that new life. And so for that, we're thankful. For that, we give you the praise. For that, you are the one indeed that we adore, because you're worthy of adoration. And Lord, we're thankful to you first and foremost. But Lord, we're also thankful for the ladies who are here, the women who are here, the moms who are present, and those who are not here. Lord, we thank you for giving us our moms. We thank you for enabling them, Lord, to raise us up and to love us and to express the love of God to us and to care for us and watch over us, Lord. And we're grateful for all that they've done over the entire span of our lives, the effort that they put forth, the agony that they may have experienced, the pain that they suffered, Lord. We're grateful for the joy at which they did their task of being moms and helping their children to be able to grow up and make it in life. And we say thank you to you for them, Lord. And we love you for giving us our moms, and we love them. Lord, may they be greatly encouraged and strengthened and challenged to run on in the life that you have given them, Lord, and may that all be for your glory and praise. And Lord, would you open our eyes today that we would behold wonderful things of your word, and these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. You are worthy of honor. I give you your flowers today, verbal flowers, in thanksgiving for the work that you do. I appreciate mothers, appreciate women, appreciate the work that you do. It's not an easy task being a mom. I would not want to be a mom. I'm so thankful that I am a dad and a granddad. I look at moms, and I thank the Lord more and more. The older I get, the more I'm thankful for my wife. I look at her, and I see the work that she does in mothering, helping our children to get up to being grown folk now, and also working with our grandchildren. So I thank God for my wife, and I thank God for my mom, who is present in the house today, for her labor of love. Were it not for her and her putting her foot on my neck a few times across the years, I would not be here today. And so I'm thankful for the labor of love. She did, as short as she is, and you all know how short she is, she still, I'm serious when I say this. I was scared of my dad, but I was fearful of my mom. She carried a big stick even though she was little, but I'm thankful that she had that type of inner strength, because she always wanted her boys to be something and to get somewhere and stay out of trouble. We got in our share of trouble, but nothing that kept us from moving on in life. And that a large part of that had to do with my mom. That's the honest truth. So thank you, Mom, for being mom to me. I love you. Thank you. I'm thankful, too, for my mother-in-law. I have to say it. I'm glad that she's here today. The greatest mother-in-law on the face of the earth. And I don't say that just because she's here, or I don't say it lightly. It's true, in my opinion. I know every man thinks that of their mother-in-law, but it is true in my case that she is a great mother-in-law. You know, I hear some horror stories, or I've heard some horror stories of relationships with in-laws. That's never been the case with me. They have always been supportive. Both my father-in-law and my mother-in-law allowed us to be who we were, make our foolish mistakes, and to be there for us all along the way. So, Mom Brown, thank you for being you. I love you for being who you are. Amen. Amen. And she's the mother-in-law that we prayed for, the church prayed for when she was sick, and the Lord brought her from a long way. So we're thankful for that. So we want to invest some moments in the Word today. I know you want to get out and get with your moms and be with them, but we do have, I think, a word from the Lord today for women. Last week we started in Ruth, and we'll circle back to that next week, but we're taking a little detour. This week in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And really we'll touch on verses from the entire chapter, not in depth as we could, but we'll just scratch the surface a little bit. First Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, who was called Hannah, and the other, one was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. See the situation there. Then year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. You may be seated. And I'll read a little bit more, and we'll go on as we press on through the message. And because, verse 6, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downcast? Don't I mean more to you than ten sons?" Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." I want to go on into the message, and we'll come back with the rest of the verses as we have time. What I want to talk about, we're talking about women of destiny in our series of messages, but today, you know, the focus is a little bit on women, on mothers, totally on women, but men, of course, we have things to learn as well. Because the Word of God is always for all of us. And I'm reminded in the New Testament where it says that everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction, so we can learn. The Old Testament is applicable to today if we only look and listen to the Spirit of God. From our text, I'd like to say that Hannah had a divine destiny. She had a divine destiny, and her destiny was determined by the Lord. If you're a child of God, your destiny is determined by God. And her destiny had to do with what God had planned for her to do and to be before the foundations of the world for his glory, for her good, and for the benefit of others. Hannah was destined to be the mother of Samuel. You all have heard about Samuel. Well, this is his mom. And she was destined to be the mother of Samuel, who would be a prophet, a priest, and the last judge of Israel, and who would be the one who would anoint the first king of Israel, and also the one who would anoint King David. That was her destiny, to be his mom, but she had to go through some things before she got there. And that's what we're looking at. God had determined that for her, but it didn't just happen. She had to go through some things, and God used those things to get her to where he wanted her to be and to get Samuel into this world. But I want to say to you moms and women in general, if you don't have children and grandmothers as well, moms, you have a divine destiny too, just like Hannah. You got to know that. The Lord wants you to understand that you have a divine destiny as well, just like Hannah. You have a God-ordained purpose for being placed on this earth. I know it may not feel like it, but it's true. You have a divine purpose for being placed on this earth. Sometimes that purpose can be fuzzy, can't it? But it's real. The Lord wants us to understand that. You're not here by chance. Nobody's born by chance. Nobody really is a mistake. You're not a mistake. Even children born out of wedlock, they may be a mistake to us, but God knew about it. God had them here. God has a purpose for them. You're a woman of destiny. Your divine destiny is a Christ-centered, God-ordained place and person that he has planned for you and for your family. God has done that. And you can realize your destiny. The Lord wants you to realize, to walk in the fullness of your destiny as a woman of God, as a mom of God, as a man of God. He wants you to realize your destiny. If we would only put into practice some of the lessons that we learn from the life of Hannah. What are the lessons that we learn? Four lessons, I think, that we'll share today. There's much more in the text than what I'm able to give today, but we'll share a couple of things. Lesson number one, women of destiny, moms of destiny, we'll throw in the men on the side. Men of destiny experience emotional pain. We got to know, we experience, moms, women, people in general, experience emotional pain. Don't we? As we read the text, we saw that coming out, didn't we? And we see the backdrop of that. We saw that Elkanah had two wives, and God permitted it. It wasn't his perfect will for men to have more than one wife, but he allowed it to be. He had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And the one wife she had children. The text tells us she was able to bear children, and she had children for Elkanah, but Hannah had no kids, and that caused conflict in the family. That caused tension, and that caused Peninnah. She got all on Hannah. She made fun of Hannah. She talked about Hannah. She didn't like Hannah, and she held that over Hannah's head. And Hannah went through pain. What was the source of her pain? Well, Hannah was hurting because the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. We saw that in verse 5, right? But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. Elkanah tried to make things better for Hannah. Peninnah got one portion. Whatever Peninnah got and her kids got, Hannah got double that. Why? Why is that? Well, the text says that he loved her. He loved her. Even though Peninnah had children for him, he had this special love for Hannah, and he gave her a double portion. But the text tells us the Lord closed her womb. The Lord closed her womb. The Lord closed her womb. And I've already noted, but I'll note it again, that her husband, who loved her, took care of her, gave her a double portion of food, but she still was not satisfied. She was satisfied with that, but she wasn't satisfied with the fact that she didn't have children. She did not have children because her heart yearned for that which the Lord had destined her to do. She wanted kids. That something in her told her that she had to have some children. And if a woman couldn't have children in those days, what Hannah understood and what we need to understand, that it was a black mark on her life. She was considered to be cursed by God. She was in pain because she couldn't have the son that her husband longed for to carry on the family name. But note again that her womb was closed by the Lord. It was something the Lord had done. And you know what? I thought about that and still think about that, but that was all a part of God's plan. And that's one thing I think I try to bring out throughout this message, that it was all a part of God's plan, that her womb being closed, something was wrong with her at the time that God did not permit her to have children. But the Holy Spirit makes it clear through the writer of Samuel that the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord allowed that pain to come up in her life, to be a part of her life. And he actually used that. But Hannah was hurting because of that. If you will, it was the Lord's fault that she couldn't have children. But the Lord had a bigger picture in mind. But at the moment, it was something that Hannah had to go through. She was hurting because of that. She was in a lot of pain because of that. But also, as I mentioned before, Hannah was hurting because her adversary, Penina, constantly provoked her. You ever had somebody like that? They constantly came at you, constantly getting on you. Her adversary was the person who pointed out her deficiency as far as the culture was concerned. Penina knew that the idea was that there was a curse on Hannah, and she used that. She used that. She came after her. She talked about her. The adversary wanted her to focus on what she didn't have. Ah, Hannah, you don't have any children. I had children for Elkanah, and you can't have any kids for Elkanah. That's what she was doing. And she did that over and over again. And the text tells us that that happened year after year after year. We don't know how many years it was, but the Bible tells us that it was year after year after year after year. And Hannah was in a lot of pain. The adversary wanted her to focus on what she did not have. He wanted her to think about her inadequacies. He wanted her to feel like she didn't measure up to being a real woman. Because everybody knew that real women have children. And that's what she kept putting in her ear. The adversary wanted her to be an emotional wreck and to live in that state, year in and year out. The Bible tells us that she was going through. In verse 7 it says, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her, kept talking about her, was all in her ear, was all in her face, till she wept and would not eat. Yeah, she was going through. Moms, you ever go through like that? You ever feel that pain? You ever cry? You ever weep because there's something so heavy on you? There's pain on you. She wept. She would not eat. Her heart was sad. That's real. That's real. See, women, just because you have a destiny doesn't mean that you're not going to go through. You're going to go through. I know that. It's true of men. It's true of children. You're going to go through. You're going to go through. And that's what we need to understand and accept, is that women of destiny are not exempt from the pains and problems of life. You are going to have pains and problems of life. Well, you may say, well, I know Christ. I shouldn't be going through. That's not true. That's not true. That's false teaching. It's not real. If you know Christ, you are going to go through. And if you continue, if you continue trying to not go through, that's going to cause you a lot of frustration, because that's not real life. Real life is, it hurts. There's pain. There's stuff that comes on you. We have an enemy who comes after us. Women of destiny, moms of destiny, men of destiny are not exempt from the pains and problems of life. Be aware that one of the tactics that is used by the enemy is to get you focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do have. And that's what Penina wanted. That's what Penina did. All she did was talk about what Hannah did not have. You don't have children. You can't have kids. You're barren. The enemy is still using the same tactic today. He wants you to think, moms, that you're deficient. He wants you to think, women, that you're deficient. He wants men to think that they're deficient, and children, kids. He wants you to think that you're deficient. He wants us focusing on that instead of focusing on what we do have. The enemy wants you to think that the love of God is not enough to satisfy you. Elkanah came along and said, Hannah, isn't my love better for you than 10 sons? The enemy wants us to think that what God has given you, and given us, is not enough. He wants you thinking that you need more to be a real woman, a real man, and you need that in order to fulfill your destiny. I think that God reaches out to people and says the same thing to us that Elkanah said to Hannah. Am I not better to you than, and you fill in the blank. You understand what I'm saying? We're looking for this and looking for that, and God says to us, am I not better to you than, am I not enough for you? See, the circumstances of life can cause women or moms of destiny to experience emotional pain. It's going to happen. It's going to come. When people attack you, it hurts. When sickness comes upon you or your children or those around you, those that you love, it hurts. Not just physically, but emotionally. When the doctor can't fix it and God isn't responding, God isn't answering in your time and in your way, it can cause deep hurt and anguish in your heart. It hurts. When your children hurt, moms hurt. The Lord wants us to be honest. Hannah was honest. We hear it. We see it. We feel her pain. Be honest. Be open. Be transparent before the Lord. Lesson one. Lesson two. Women of destiny turn to the Lord in prayer when they are in pain. Women of destiny realize that, yeah, I'm going through. I'm going to go through. Pain is going to happen. It's going to be part and parcel to my life. That doesn't mean I can't get to where I want to go. And because I go through this pain, women of destiny turn to the Lord in prayer when they are in pain. When they are in pain. Verse 9, once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, the text tells us, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple in bitterness of soul. See that? In bitterness of soul. Now, this wasn't just surface level stuff. In bitterness of soul, it was deep down within Hannah. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much. Not a little bit. She wept much and prayed to the Lord. And prayed to the Lord. The Bible tells us that Hannah wasn't taking care of herself at home. Because of her pain. She was being oppressed by Penina. She wasn't eating. She was constantly crying. And her heart was in constant pain. But then the Bible tells us that she arrived at Shiloh. Verse 8 and verse 9. And then it was in Shiloh that she began to eat and drink. Why? Why were I at Shiloh? Well, Shiloh was the place of sacrifice. At that time, that was the place where they worshiped, where they went and made sacrifice. It was the place where they met with the Lord. It was the place of prayer. And in Shiloh, Hannah had hope. Her hope was renewed that the Lord would hear her prayer and give her a child. When she got to the place of worship, when she got to the place of prayer, when she got to the place of sacrifice, her thoughts began to turn. Her focus began to turn. You see, women of destiny, I think a lesson I can leave with us is this. Women of destiny, moms of destiny, go to the Lord when they are in pain. Moms of destiny, women of destiny, go to the Lord when they are in pain, as opposed to running away from the Lord when they are in pain. You see, Hannah was hurting, but she did not allow her pain to turn her away from the Lord. You ever did that? You ever know people who do that? And that's probably natural, that we want to curl up in a corner and we want to shrivel up and shrivel away and we want to turn away from the Lord and we want to say, God ain't hearing me, I'm not praying. You may go through that. But let's learn a lesson from Hannah. Hannah was a woman who was in deep anguish. She was in deep pain, but she did not allow her pain to turn her away from the Lord. In fact, she went to the Lord. You see, pain can be a catalyst that drives us to the Lord and to be desperately dependent upon him, or pain can cause us to be depressingly focused on us and our pain. I wonder how you respond or how I respond. What is your response to your pain? Is it a catalyst that moves you closer to Christ? Has it motivated you to be desperately dependent on Jesus? Or has it caused you to turn inward and away from him and to focus more on your pain? On your pain. You see, we may not be able to remove the pains that we encounter in life, but we can move our minds, what we think. We can choose what we focus on. We do have that choice. And I, like you, I have to work on that, because I can see the bad much more clear than I can see the good or I can see Christ. We can choose what we focus on. See, Jesus knows what you're going through. He experienced physical and emotional pain, and he had to make the choice just like you do, moms. Just like you do, women, just like you do, men. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I know I've read this before. It seems like I read it every other week, but I got to read it today too. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Where are we fixing our eyes? On Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, what did he endure? He endured the cross. See, Jesus had pain to suffer just like you, just like me. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. They talked about Jesus too. He endured opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, if our focus is not right, if our perspective isn't right, if our pain doesn't drive us to the Lord, it's going to drive us away from him and we lose heart. Women, if you're going to get to your destiny, you got to focus. You got to focus on the Lord. You got to focus on Christ. You got to see him. You got to trust him and expect him to see you through. Let me run on. Hannah prayed. Yeah, she focused. She was driven to the Lord. But Hannah prayed to the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 11. And she made a vow. So she's there in pain. She's in deep anguish. But it doesn't turn her away. It causes her to be desperately dependent on the Lord. And she says this. She cries out to the Lord and she makes a vow. She says, O Lord Almighty. The NIV says Almighty. It's O Lord of hosts. If you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Hannah prayed to the Lord of hosts. She fixed her eyes on the one who could do something about her situation. Hosts had to do with warfare. It has to do with warfare, with armies. It speaks of armies, and it speaks of doing battle. So when she was in her anguish, when she was going through her pain, she thought about the Lord of hosts. The Lord is the one who goes to war in behalf of his people. He sends his host of angels to do battle in the heavenlies with the enemy of our souls. And Hannah thought about that. She said, "O Lord of hosts, O Lord Almighty, you're the one who's able to do something about my situation. I'm crying out to you." See, Hannah understood that she was a servant of the Lord. You see how many times she said servant? She said, "Lord, your servant, your servant, your servant. I'm your servant, Lord. I belong to you. Lord of hosts, I'm crying out to you. You're the one who fights our battles. And you're the one who's able to do something about my situation. So, Lord, I'm crying out to you." See, her life was in his hand. Her destiny was determined by him, and she understood that. And she was submissive to his plan. "I am your servant. I'm your servant. Lord, do battle for me." See, women of destiny understand that life is a battle. Hannah understood that it wasn't just about her, that it wasn't just about her being barren because there was something wrong with her body. No, Hannah understood that was something from the Lord of hosts, and he could do something about it. And she understood it was a battle. It was a battle. Women of destiny, you have to understand that your life is it's a battle. It's a battle. It's a winnable war, really. It's a war that has been won in the Lord already. And again, remember, it doesn't mean the pain is going to be taken away right away. You see, you got to cry out to the Lord of hosts who goes to war in your behalf. You ever think about that? God fights for you. He fights for his will to be done. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil." Where at? In heavenly places, in the heavenly realm. There's a war going on. There's a war going on right now. The enemy wants me to sit down and shut up. The enemy doesn't want you to do what God has destined you to do. So he's going to bring all kind of forces against you, all kind of forces against us. And you can't win this war on your own. You got to fight the battle on your knees, mom. Women, men, you got to fight the battle. We got to first accept the reality of the war. You're in war. This is war. Spiritual warfare. Hannah understood that. That's what she said. "Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, do battle for me." See, women of destiny pray even when they are in the crucible of pain. God had put her in this crucible. The heat was turned up, but it did not stop her from praying. It drove her to pray. She said in verse 16, "I have been praying here out of great anguish and out of grief." Now I understand sometimes people get to the point where they feel like they can't pray, but if we can learn a lesson from Hannah and ask the Lord to help us to get this in our lives, that we pray out of our pain, we pray when we're in our pain. And I'm not saying you have to be praying for 5 or 6 hours. You pray 2 minutes, 3, but pray. You're seeking the Lord because you know there's no other help that you know. You see, pain can cause you to reach out to the Lord as you never have in your life. As you never have when you go through stuff. Pain can move you to realize that you're not in control. Jesus is. And therefore you cry out to him. Do you realize that, moms? You may have a little control over your kids right now, but let them start getting older. You begin to realize more and more, nope, they got a mind of their own. And as I said it before, I love my kids, I love my grandkids, but they're cute little bundles of sin. Moms, you need to pray to the Lord of hosts for your children against the spiritual forces of evil. that are against them. Moms, I hope you don't think it's just about the stuff, the things that you see. Because if you do, you've already lost the battle. See, women of destiny, I need to run on real quickly here. Women of destiny go to the Lord in the midst of their pain. But women of destiny, when they get to that point and they're praying to the Lord and they see the Lord of hosts, women of destiny worship. They worship and wait on the Lord of hosts instead of worrying and wishing that the problem didn't exist. You see, Hannah worshiped the Lord through her pain. Verse 18 and 19 I have down here. Verse 18, she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So she's starting to come around. And then it says, verse 19, "Early the next morning, they arose and did what? And worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." So before they left the place, after she got through praying, she worshiped the Lord. Hannah worshiped the Lord. She bowed down before the Lord. She laid herself out before the one who was above her in order to deal with the pain that was within her and the adversaries who were around her. She prayed and she worshiped. Women, be worshiping. Don't just wait till you come here. Worship the Lord out there in your closet, in your home, in your car. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord out of your pain. She understood that God was her shield and fortress, the rock behind whom she could hide. And so she got up early in the morning and she sought the Lord. She thought about him. She worshiped him. See, worshiping God puts your life into perspective, proper perspective. If you stay focused on your pain, you will not worship the Lord. And again, it's not that the pain necessarily goes away, but you're going before the Lord who is able to help you in the midst of your pain and help you to get through your pain. Worshiping puts your pain, your problems, your adversaries into proper perspective. The Lord sees and the Lord knows. The Lord acts in behalf of those who truly place him above all things. Something happens to us when we pray and when we worship. Something happens in us when we pray and when we worship. God honors that when we put him first, because when we don't worship and we don't pray in the midst of our pain, we're putting our problems, we're putting people above God. And the Lord said, "I shall have no other God before me." Isaiah 64 and 4 says, "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." I love that verse because it says when we worship the Lord, we're waiting on God. God, I'm waiting on you. I'm worshiping you. When we're praying, we're saying, "God, I'm waiting on you. I'm expecting from you. God, I'm bowing down before you. We're waiting on you." And what the Bible says is that he's a God who acts on our behalf to carry out his will. And that question is, are you waiting on him? Are you worshiping him? Or are you just wrestling with your pain and your problems? No, in the midst of that pain, turn to the Lord. See, a life lesson. The pains and problems of life do not have to hinder you. Do not have to hinder you from reaching your destiny. They don't. I believe that the Lord used that. And it was his timing. It was his timing. He shut up Hannah's womb. He allowed Hannah to go through all of that. None of that hindered her from becoming the mother of Samuel. None of it stopped it. God used it in her to drive her to him. And your pains and your problems do not have to hinder you from reaching your destiny. In fact, we need to think about them as tools in the hands of the Lord that he uses in your life as you journey toward him. God is doing something in us. He's making us into the image of Christ. He's transforming us into the people that he wants us to be. And he uses pain to do that. We cannot deny that. The Lord uses them to get you to your divine destiny. He uses them. He uses them. And if you understand that he uses them, women of destiny embrace the pains and problems. As I mentioned last week with Ruth, she had to embrace that. Embrace that. That doesn't mean you like it. That doesn't mean you say, Lord, bring on more pain. No, but if pain happens to come into your life, you recognize that the Lord of hosts is the one who brought it. That God was sovereign. He allowed it to come into your life. And so it's something that he wants to do in you and that he wants to do through you in the midst of that pain. See, women of destiny embrace the pains and problems in their lives as a means to an end, not the end within themselves. See, that pain is not the end. It's not the end. The end of the journey for Hannah was that she worshiped the Lord, and ultimately she had Samuel. That was the end of the journey. The pain was a part of the process. She worshiped, and so too is the end of our journey and whatever we do and whatever is going on in our lives. Our journey ends in the worship of the Lord and in his will being carried out, not our will. Lesson 3, women of destiny pray and care for the children. Well, you know the story. The story ends with, it's on a happy note for Hannah. Verse 21. Well, verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked of the Lord. And that's what Samuel means, asked of God. Because I asked the Lord for him. And God gave Samuel to Hannah. Why? Because it was part of his plan. It was part of his destiny for her. But then Hannah had to do the job of taking care of him, and that's what she did. She cared for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, he's still a little tyke. After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. And then Elkanah said, do what seems best to you. Elkanah, her husband, told her, stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. When the Lord brings you through, gives you whatever he's going to give you, in this case your children, you got to take care of them. Women of destiny, take care of them. Hannah, women of destiny, take care of their children and pray for the children. Hannah said she prayed for the child. When she said she prayed for the child, she was asking the Lord to give her a child. But I want to apply that to you as moms and as grandmothers and us as people in general. We need to pray for our children and we need to care for them. They can't raise themselves. You know that. Hannah said, no, I'm not going to bring him until he's weaned, until he's at that age that he can be taken care of. What you need to do and what we need to do is to think through and pray for our children's lives. We need to pray for them. Yeah, if they're still young, we need to pray for them before they get out there. We need to think through the stuff that they may be going through. You're not trying to control their lives, but you're bowing down before the one who is in control because he wants his blessings and protection on their lives. It doesn't mean they won't go through, they will. No, we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. As he prayed for his disciples, so too moms and everyone else must we pray for those under our care. Why is that? Why do we got to pray for them? Why do we got to care for them? Why do we have to nurture them? Because Satan wants our children. He does. Satan wants to shake your child in his evil sieve. like wheat was shaken. You see, the battle we're in for children, for kids, is a supernatural battle. And this message doesn't go into that. My primary point is that women, moms, dads alongside, pray. Pray. Think through what your kids are going through and what they will be going through and pray for them. It's a supernatural battle. It's a battle that can only be fought on your knees. Too often the battles we fight are about what's temporal, about what we can see, about them having food and clothing and shelter and all the other stuff. And we invest much time in that. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but we can't leave it there. We can't leave it there. We need moms today who believe and understand that there is a spiritual battle taking place for the lives of our kids. We need moms who know that their children need a Savior because they're sinners. They're sinners. We need moms who pray that their children will be saved from the eternal fires of hell. You need to have your children may be sweet. They may be the cutest children, parents. But they need Jesus too. Them looking cute, them getting a degree, that's not enough. They need Christ. And we need parents and grandparents who understand that without Christ, children are destined for an eternity separated from God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. And if we understand that, we're going to pray like Hannah prayed. We're going to have moms who believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for their children and that Jesus is able to save them to the utmost. That's what he wants. He doesn't desire anyone to perish, but for all to come to a knowledge of the truth. We don't know what's going to happen. I need to run on. We don't know what's going to happen to our children out in this world. We don't. We wish we could put them in a little bubble, don't we? And protect them from all the stuff that goes on. But they wouldn't want it. They take a pen and bust it and get out there. We don't know what turn they're going to take in life. Your kids may grow up and be okay while they're there. When they get out there and they do stuff, you say, I just cannot believe it. We know the stuff that our kids are exposed to, the violence, the immorality, the drugs in school, all the stuff they see on TV and on the internet, and the music is killing them. It's killing them. I hear it. It's killing their souls, their minds. We know that Satan wants children on his side. Well, listen, don't be discouraged. Don't let that pain turn you away from the Lord. Pray that God will keep them from the evil one and from the evil circumstances that they will encounter. Expect them to encounter that, but Lord, keep them from the evil one. Don't try to lock your kids in a closet, protecting them from the world. Protect their minds and hearts with the word of God and surrounding them in prayer. That's what you do. That's what you do. We can pray that the Lord would be their refuge and their shelter. That's what you do. That's what you do. Don't lose any sleep over it. Pray. Pray. Mothers, you can't go with your children everywhere they go. Grandparents, you can't follow them around everywhere. But you can send your prayers ahead of them. You can send your prayers out there into the streets. You can send them out there in the highways and byways in the schools. You can send your prayers out there. Persevere in prayer. Never give up. Put your hope in the Lord and what he's able to do. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the one who fights our battles. Even when your kids go astray, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep knocking on the doors of heaven. Don't give up on them. Don't say it's impossible, because then you're doubting God. No, he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord who fights the battles. And I remember this, Helen Baylor sings a song. I had a praying grandmother. I had a praying grandmother who took her to the throne of grace. That grandmother's prayer got her through, because she was off in all kind of stuff. And your prayers will get through too. And I just wonder, do we have any praying grandmothers in the house here today? We got some praying. Pray, grandmothers. Keep praying. Don't give up. It ain't over until they're 6 feet under. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm done. Moms of destiny, understand that they have to let go. Grandmothers, grandfathers, we have to let go. Where do I get that from? Verse 24. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, maybe about 3 years old at this time. Only 3 years old or so at this time. Maybe. But he was young. Along with the 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine to worship, she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Verse 25, when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Eli was the priest. They brought him to him. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Because Eli thought she was drunk. Remember back? He thought she was drunk, and she said, no, I'm praying to God. My heart is broken. I'm crying out to the Lord. And she said, I'm that woman. I prayed for this child. The Lord answered my prayer. The Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. We don't know who the he is. The he could have been Samuel. But Hannah had to let go. Hannah had to keep her vow. Hannah had promised, Lord, if you give me this child, I'm going to raise him up till he gets old enough for me to bring him to the temple, and then I'm going to let Eli raise him. I may get permission to come back and see him every now and then, but he belongs to you. Hannah stated, she says, now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. Hannah prayed for a son, but she realized that her son really belonged to the Lord. Parents, do you realize that? Grandparents, that your kids, they don't belong to you. You don't own them. God does. Samuel was on loan from the Lord to Hannah. Hannah kept her promise and gave him to the Lord in service. She had to bring him, drop him off, and go back home. She had to let go. See, Hannah dedicated her son in service to the Lord because that was her destiny. She said, I'm giving him to you. A razor shall never cut his head. That's a sign of dedication. He's totally dedicated to you. That was her assignment from God, to be the mother of Samuel, who would be the one who would faithfully serve the Lord and anoint the first king and the second king of Israel. Don't you know that that had to be hard for Hannah to do? To let go? But she had to. Why is that? Because she was a woman of destiny. She was a mom of destiny. She had to let her little boy go. She understood that her destiny was part of the fabric of God's eternal plan. And it was now time for her to let him go. See, women of destiny live in the reality that their lives are not just about them. Your life, mom, is not just about you. Your child, some moms can get so attached they don't want to let go. It's about God. And your life and your child's life is woven into the plan of God. They belong to God as much as we love them, as much as you love them, as much as I love my children, my grandchildren, they belong to God. They don't belong to us. Hannah had to let Samuel go. even at that very young age. And her eye was on the Lord because his eyes were on Samuel. Moms, women, all of us in general, give your children, give people back to the Lord. People don't belong to us. That should be our prayer. The prayer of every heart of a godly mother. Lord, may my child serve you all the days of his life. But then throw this in. If he gets off track, do whatever it takes in his life or her life to turn him back to yourself. You ever pray that for your kids? Whatever it takes. That might take a good whooping from the Lord. That might take some pain in their life from the Lord, but that's your prayer, Lord, whatever it takes for them to come to know you or come back to you, Lord, do that. Do that. But you got to let them go. You got to let them go. One more thing, smothering is not mothering. Life lesson. Hear me, the handful that we have, and pass it on to your friends. Smothering is not mothering. Moms of destiny understand again that their children belong to the Lord and not them. You can't smother your kids. I don't care what you try. They still going to get out there and do whatever. Whatever. They can do it. You can turn all the, you don't have to have any of that worldly music in your house. You don't have to have any of the rank stuff that might be on TV. And don't you know that your kids can still get it? You can't smother them. You got to find the balance. Ask the Lord for wisdom, what it looks like for you with your children. Lord, what's the balance between me protecting them and me letting them go? Give your children back to the Lord. Dedicate their lives to the one who is able to work all the circumstances of their lives into good for his glory. Yeah, bring them up in the Lord. Involve them in the word of God and in prayer. Don't just expect the church. That's your job, mom and dad, first, to bring them up in the Lord. Do that as much as you involve them in the other activities that they're involved in. Moms, you have great influence in their lives. You have great influence. Use that influence to bring them up in the Lord. Moms, I want to say this and I'm done. Two things, I'm finished. Mothers, accept the truth that no matter what your pain might be today, the Lord is above your pain. And he will see you through your pain and will use your pain as a part of his plan. He does. Rest in the Lord. Lord, I'm hurting, but I'm resting in you. Got a lot of pain going on, Lord, but I'm resting in you. Lord, I feel it way down here. I'm crying. You can cry. Go ahead and cry. Shed those tears. Shed them before the Lord. The Lord can handle it. He's king over your life. He loves you. He cares about you. And he's able to do something about your personal pain. Remember, Hannah understood this. This is why she prayed. This is why she said, Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty. Because she understood the Lord does battle for her. And you got to walk away with that too. The Lord does battle for you. When you're hurting, turn to the Lord. Cry out to him out of your anguish. Secondly, mothers and women in the house, you have to do some personal soul care. If you are going to go the distance in reaching your destiny and being the help to your children and whoever else the Lord, you got to care for yourself. Hannah, the first part of it was all about her and her crying out to the Lord and her going to the Lord and her caring, the Lord doing some spiritual counseling in her soul. You got to take yourself before the Lord. Yeah, you can talk to your husband, you can talk to your friends, you can go to a counselor, but you know what? Ultimately, you got to go to the one who does care on your soul. You got to take care of you. You have to feed yourself. You have to allow the Lord to feed you if you're going to be able to feed others. Caring for children can drain you. Being a wife to your husband can take you down. If you're not constantly allowing the Lord of your life to nurture you, allow the Lord to nurture you out of your pain. You got to pray yourself through. And praying gives the Lord an opportunity to work in you and to work on you so he can ultimately work through you. I want to say thank you, moms. I'm finished. I probably talked too long, as I seem to always do. Pray for me in that area. Let us take some time to say thank you to our moms. Just to say thank you. Your mom might be gone, but you can thank the Lord for her. You can still thank the Lord for you having a mom who probably prayed for you. I remember, and my mom probably doesn't know, but I remember catching her praying on her knees. Her door in her room might be cracked, and I'd see her on her little knees. But she used those knees, seriously. She used them. She prayed for us. She prayed for us. And I want to thank her. I thank you, moms. And we need to thank our moms. And I want us to get past the generic thank you of our moms. I really do. Let's reflect on something specific this Mother's Day that you want to say, Mom, I thank you for this. Oh, I thank the Lord for this for my mom, for what she did. Maybe you've never really said thank you to your mom in that way, and do it. Just do it. Give her her flowers while she lives. And thank the Lord for what she's done. Thank her for being like Hannah, because we have some Hannah moms up in the house here today. And I want to thank God for them. Thank God for you. Let's pray. And maybe there's someone who doesn't know Christ. That's the first step, is really accepting him. Because you can't pray to him as the Lord of hosts if you don't know him as Lord of your life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you don't know Christ, you can say, Lord, I want to accept you. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. I need forgiveness, and I thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you that you rose again. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for accepting me. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in giving us the moms that you did. Thank you for using them in our lives. Thank you for those moms who prayed us through situations that we don't even know about, but they prayed, and because they prayed, we got through. Thank you for the moms who sit before me today. I pray for them, Father. I pray that you would encourage them deep within their souls. Some of them might be in much pain, but Lord, you're the lifter of their heads. You're the one who's able to see them through. Some of them are wondering and worried about how their kids are going to work out, or how their grandkids are going to turn out, or how their family members are going to make it through, or what's going to happen in this situation and that situation. Lord, help them. And I pray for them, but help them to pray for themselves. Help us, Lord, all to learn how to pray out of our pain before you. And your word says we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. Lord, would you do some soul caring in the lives of these moms today? Lord, lift their heads, fill them with the joy of the Lord, and may the joy of the Lord be their strength. And Father, help us to be thankful for the moms and to the moms and the grandmothers that you've given to us. Help the children that are here to be thankful to their parents. And to learn how to say thank you to them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you here today and never been a time in your life when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you can come. If you prayed that prayer of salvation, you can come and make a public profession of faith and say, I give my life to Christ. Jesus died and he rose in our behalf. And he said, whosoever will, he can come and be forgiven. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him people might be saved. Are you here today and you trust Christ? Maybe you're without a church home. Maybe the Lord is calling you to make the Agape Fellowship your church family. You can come. Give yourself to him as Lord and Savior, man, woman, boy, or girl. Brand new life.
He will give you brand new life. Life abundantly. Oh, come. Come on to Christ.
Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Won't you stand with me? Won't you stand with me? Now, great God, as we leave this place, we stand to give you and you alone all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And, Lord, just like Hannah, who at the end of her journey of pain worshiped you, prayed to you, Lord, may it be that we worship you and adore you and give you thanks. And to you and you alone, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.